Tammy?
Okay.
Okay. Call the meeting of the Board of Supervisors for February 12th, 2013 to order. You would all stand and please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. If County Council Doring could lead us in that pledge.
Yes, sir. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First will be the last. Oh, Lordy. Welcome, everyone. We have a fairly short agenda, I think, today. We're going to move on to public comment. This is the opportunity for anyone who wants to comment on anything that is not on today's agenda. Anyone want to come up for public comment? I'm trying to drag the meeting out a little bit, so just wait. All right, seeing no one, going to move on to the consent calendar. Consent calendar is everything that is marked with an asterisk, A1 through 3, B1 through 7, C1 and 2. Does anyone want to pull anything on the consent calendar? Any board member, anyone from the public want to pull anything? If not, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
So moved.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to B8. Approval to ratify and amend the contract for professional design services with Shaw Environmental. Ms. Eggers.
Yes.
Ms. Sue.
You thought this was going to be a short meeting until you had this item in front of you. Get set up here. There we go. Okay. As you mentioned, today in front of you, you have the item ratify and amend the contract for professional design services with Shaw Environmental. This is for work done at the Fink Road Landfill in what we call LF2 or Landfill 2, Cell 5. And I'm Jamie Eggers, Director of the Department of Environmental Resources. And since this is my first presentation, since my appointment to the position became permanent, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for the opportunity. It is both an honor and a pleasure to serve in this capacity. So let's get started. Here we go. By way of background, the Department of Environmental Resources, and specifically the Landfill Division, maintains and operates the Fink Road Landfill. This facility provides the Class 3 disposal for municipal solid waste for all of Stanislaus County, as well as the Class 2 combustion ash disposal from the waste energy facility. Back in March of 2008, the board awarded a contract to Shaw Environmental to provide the professional engineering services for the following. They designed and permitted the construction of the base liner system for the next cell, Cell 5, and they administered and oversaw the construction, and we refer to this as Construction Quality Assurance, or CQA, services. The State of California regulations require that you have an independent third party provide these CQA services for any and all construction at a landfill, and this is necessary to ensure that the general contractor builds the project to state mandated specifications. They also document everything, every step of the way, and prepare a final report for the Water Board's review at the end of the project. In October 2008, the Board approved and adopted the plans and specs that Shaw developed, and the notice inviting bids for construction was published. The closing date for bids was in late November of that year. However, the decision was made to reject the initial bids that were received. The project was put back out to bid with a new closing date of April 1st, 2009. Later that month, the contract was awarded to DeSilva Gates Construction. They were the lowest responsible bidder, and construction began in the following June. About a year and a half later, the project was accepted as complete in November 2010. However, the Water Board had not yet granted approval for waste placement in the cell. And the next question would be why? And That was because they believed that we possibly had a leak in the plastic liner in the cell, and the following slides will explain why. Shaw was the engineer of record for the project, and during construction, we did what was called an electronic leak location survey, and that was performed after 2 feet of operations layer, which is dirt, was placed over the bottommost portion of the cell, and that was standard procedure at the time. The sensitivity for that leak survey test was approximately 1/2 inch, which means it can detect a hole of 1/2 inch or larger in size, and that survey detected no leaks. While we were still waiting for Waterboard's final approval, time marched on into the winter and spring of 2010-11, and staff noticed that water had collected in the bottommost, what we call the pan area, the bottommost portion of the cell. And if you could visualize, the cells are large, several acres, and they are V-shaped to a center low point, and they're also sloped from east to west. And I would liken this design, this bottom-centered design, to double bagging your groceries. Just in case the first bag leaks, you have a second bag below that. Now, ideally, you would hope that that would never occur, but if the first liner leaks, you have a second liner down below to catch it. And the edges of that double bagging are welded together. It's plastic welding. And if you could kind of think of it as in terms of like a Ziploc bag, how a Ziploc bag seals. You would plastic weld those two liners of grocery bag together around the edges. And this is a double liner is only in this bottommost V section of the cell. Everything else just has a single plastic liner in the whole cell. And you'll see that as we move through the slides. Now, a little bit of moisture collecting in that bottom pan area is normal. You get that from condensation, but a lot of moisture is not normal. So at that point, in the fall of 2011, we commissioned another leak location survey test. This time, we specified a greater sensitivity down to 1/4 inch. Amazingly, no leaks were detected. So at that point, we went back to the water board, trying to make a case for, you know, based on a preponderance of the evidence, don't seem to have a leak. But they were not convinced, and they withheld their approval pending going through the winter rain season last year to rule out a possibility of a leak. Last year was a little bit like this year, where we went for quite a long period before we got very much rain, but the rains finally hit in January 2012, and shortly thereafter, we had more water in the pan, a lot of water. We started pumping it, and we were getting 60 gallons a day, and we knew that it was due to the rainwater because we had pumped the pan dry prior to the rains hitting. So in an effort to try to diagnose what was going on, our staff injected red food dye into what we call the sump area. That's below that first layer of plastic. And what happened? We had red dye in the pan. So at that point, we knew we had a problem, and we went back to Shaw, the engineer of record, and entered into a contract with them in April to get their advice and to help us through this trying process. Through some analyses and removal of a portion of that operations layer, that dirt and so on, we felt we had pinpointed the area of a potential leak. At that point, we arranged for a third leak test in July of 2012. Unfortunately, the result was we were still unsuccessful in locating the leak. In August of 2012, we had to do an amendment to Shaw's contract because this process was frustrating and taking longer, and we added just over $3,700 to help us devise an alternate plan and continue trying to find the elusive leak. Shortly after that, however, we discovered another problem, actually a worse problem. We found water under the bottommost liner layer, which meant there were leaks in both layers of the plastic liners. And this is something that's serious because I mentioned that, you know, you have the first layer, you hope it never breaks through, and you have a second layer in case it does, but you never want water underneath the bottommost layer. So we had a serious problem. At that point, we had to amend Shaw's contract again. That was in October. We increased it almost $13,000 to oversee all the work necessary to identify and repair the liner components. As we uncovered, which basically means exposing more and more of the liner, we did find some poorly welded seams, some of that plastic welding that was not properly done, and it quickly became evident that the only way to really make this right was to deconstruct and reconstruct this bottommost liner section. We call this the trough area. And we're talking about the east end of the cell because, it sloped not only this way, but from west to east. So here we were in mid-October, literally racing against the clock because this type of work cannot be done in a moist environment. We knew that we must have our approval to place waste in the cell by this spring, or we would be facing running out of landfill capacity. We knew we might run over on our CQA services costs, but it did not seem to make sense at the time to demobilize the crew and then remobilize the crew when we were literally racing against the clock. And I recognize that this isn't in the county's preferred practice of first getting authorization and then doing the work, but it was literally unavoidable in this case. Shaw's additional charges, when it was all said and done, were almost an additional $19,000, bringing their total not to exceed contract amount to $55,127. We agreed with the general contractor, let's say, some of the time. Not all of the time, because the county's position was this was warranty work that needed to be done at no cost to the county. But through a lot of cooperative efforts and working together, we worked it out, and in the end, the work that was done by DeSilva Gates and their sub, Viking Environmental, was done at no cost to the county. And I think that we successfully avoided what could have been a lengthy court battle over getting this work done. Shaw prepared their final report documenting every step of the work that had been done, and they and the landfill staff literally worked tirelessly on this project to make it happen, for which I cannot thank them enough. And we finally received our approval for waste placement in the cell in late November. And if I may, I would like to show you a few pictures because pictures are worth a thousand words. So earlier when I mentioned that we started uncovering some of the operations layer, this is kind of what it looked like. We exposed the liner in those separate sections. We called them windows, and we were doing that as we were trying to find the leak, the elusive leak. And it looks kind of flat here, but trust me, it's really V-shaped, and the top of the screen would be the west end and the bottom the east end. In mid-October, after we realized that we were going to have to deconstruct and reconstruct the cell, this is what it looked like when we literally took it down to the dirt under the bottom plastic layer, and you're looking at what we call black clay. It's relatively non-permeable, and that area is about 25 feet wide and 180 feet long. So at that point, we covered it up with plastic because rain was heading our way, and we had to sit tight while we waited that storm out. And then we uncovered it, and the crew came out, and it was more involved than this. There are actually several layers of things, but this is the plastic, the new plastic being deployed. And again, and this is the DeSilva Gates crew using the boom on that equipment because you cannot place a lot of excessive weight and you will damage things. So they're deploying the gravel on top of the new plastic. and this is a layer of felt that goes on top of the gravel to keep it clean. And this is all of the gravel covered up. And the ops layer going back down. And amazingly, in about a week's time, you would not have even realized that we were doing the work. And, pardon me. So what did we learn? In our opinion, this has been a real success story, but we do have some lessons learned, and trust me, I'm so happy to have this one checked off my to-do list, because it went on for 15 months, and it was quite a trying process. We did learn that our electronic survey work, we will always require a quarter-inch sensitivity, and we will do the survey during construction on top of the gravel rather than on top of the soil, because we learned that while the sensitivity of the testing is supposed to be able to penetrate 2 or 3 feet of soil, the 2 feet of soil on top of there actually impeded the ability of the test. We learned that we'll require the contractor's performance bond to remain in place until we receive our water board sign-off, and we will always, always start early so that we have time to deal with problems, and fortunately we did start early this time. So before you today, the staff recommendation is to ratify and amend this final amendment to Shaw's contract for professional design services at the Fink Road landfill. And the California Constitution gives the governing body the authority to provide additional compensation after service is rendered. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions? Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah. So we found some welds that were not properly done in the deconstruct process. Mm-hmm. And whose job was to oversee that those welds were done properly? Who inspected that?
That was actually Shaw's responsibility.
Okay. So then there was a defect of their quality of work in inspecting those welds.
Essentially, yes.
Yet today you're asking us to pay them again for correcting the work that had to be done because they didn't properly inspect the welds. I just want to make sure I understood.
You understand it perfectly.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Withrow.
So I was just amazed that the Water Quality Board continued to be right here until we finally did find the leak. What was it that they were looking at that indicated or convinced them that there was a leak there, but while we continued to, to believe there wasn't.
At some points along the way, we were asked to sample the water that we were pumping out of the pan area, and because of the constituents that were found in the water, they thought there was a chance that the water was coming in contact with one of those many sort of burrito-like layers in that. And it was literally a laboratory test that made them suspicious that there was a leak.
Okay. And then it was good, I guess, that Silva did all the work for free to repair this thing.
And Viking, the liner company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did I miss that? Did we ever determine where actually the leak was, or we just replaced the liner?
We found the one bad weld, and we never actually were able to pinpoint the area that was allowing the water to get all the way below everything. But we concluded that there simply had to be a defect in that east end. There's one point where there's a whole bunch of welds, and so the likelihood that if we had a problem, it would be there. It's because of how things are sloped and all of the different pieces that come together. But we never actually found the other problem.
And so then I guess to Bill's point, so did Shaw, did they admit that our weld was bad here? Did that ever happen, or did?
No, they did not.
It was just, we're going to fix this, and this is what it's going to cost. Okay. And at this point, they're waiting for us to pay them.
They're waiting for us to pay them.
Okay.
Any other questions? Supervisor Monteith.
Challenges that we've had in the past, if a leak occurs again in that same spot, they then will be held accountable, correct? Are they stipulating they will accept that?
The contractor or
the
Shaw?
Contractor, others. We've now, they repaired it.
Right. And once
asking,
they're
asking for full payment, which we're discussing now. Okay, let's say that that's accomplished and a leak occurs again. Do they then become liable for the cost? Is there a guarantee? Is there a warranty after this period of time?
There is not, because once we begin waste placement and running equipment in the cell and all of that.
So it's such that there is no such thing?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions of staff?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I do have another question. What if we say no? What if we say, you know what, you should have caught this. We paid you to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't catch it. Why do we have to pay you again? What would happen in that case?
That might be a legal question that Shaw would come after us for the money. I am full willing to share your concerns with them and inquire as to whether there is any negotiating room, but they kind of had us over a barrel because we have to have the independent third party oversee any and all work, and that's the situation we were in.
And we have a bond on construction, but probably not a bond on the construction management.
Correct.
I don't know if Jack, if you want to. If there's anything you can say about that. I guess I would just a little bit see if there was any wiggle room here for us to negotiate a little bit. If it was their fault, and then they went back and we paid them to fix something that they, I mean, maybe we can meet halfway here or something.
I'm not sure exactly what the legal status of the parties are in this regard, and I'd have to look into that. But certainly we can do that and come back to the board with a future board item to resolve this issue.
And Jamie, would you say that this entire $19,000, the increase that you're recommending for today, do you believe that that all relates to that error that occurred at the very end?
You know, I suspect that what could have happened during the original construction is that Shaw had a technician level person being the person on the ground doing the CQA work. And what I stipulated in this process was that I want an engineer on the ground overseeing the work. And, you know, that very well could have been avoided, perhaps, if we had a more experienced person being the eyes, our advocate, our eyes and ears on the ground overseeing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know, but that's speculation on my part.
Okay. So I guess in my comment, just looking at this, I would agree with a couple of my colleagues who've spoken already that doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem right, and at this point I would ask that maybe we send it back,
okay.
And I guess we could take a vote, but it just doesn't seem right, doesn't smell right, and I think having them here, if they want to come and talk to the board about this, I think that's more than fair, but it's quite apparent that it was their mistake, at least that's what I'm hearing. I'm not an engineer on the ground. If they have some information that's different, I would love to hear it. So,
certainly.
Do we have to take action? Because I don't think this is going to go their way.
Yeah, if I could formulate an appropriate motion, it would be to direct Department of Environmental Resources, Director of Department of Environmental Resources, to negotiate a resolution of this issue with Shaw Environmental and to bring back further action to the board if necessary.
Is everyone okay with that?
I think that's a great motion.
Okay. Is that your motion?
That is, sir.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Monteith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Noes? Carries 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. No D, no E, no scheduled matters to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Construction Industry Force Account Council regarding AB 720 that amends certain sections of the California Public Contract Code, creating new requirements to the way certain counties use county road commissioner provisions.
Refer to the Public Works Department and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a notice from the California Department of Transportation regarding upcoming public meetings in February 2013 about the public draft of the California State Rail Plan.
Refer to the Public Works Department and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor Lee Martini.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make a comment that the Park Lawn Sewer Project has finally begun. We've been working on this for a number of years. A few weeks ago, I met with the residents along with Planning and Public Works to explain the process. At this time, we do not have all the money to complete the whole project, but that could change depending on whether or not an assessment district was formed. And some possibility of some more state money. But the project is underway, and perhaps this year we'll go as far as we can, and possibility we could do the whole thing this year.
Okay, great.
This is the last county island in that area to have the sewer system. So this will be the end of it. Bret Hart and Shackelford are already completed.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other reports? I will give a quick report. Then we had a trip to Sacramento, Supervisor Withrow, CEO Nino, and David Jones. It was a park meet and greet to meet some of the new legislators. Excuse me, I've got a terrible sore throat today. We talked about AB 109 funding formulas, negative bailout, and TTAP. But it was just a good opportunity to give them our ledge platform and sit down and have a nice discussion. We also went to the governor's office as well as Department of Finance, met with CSAC. So good meeting, a good start for us for 2013. So, all right, on to legislative fiscal management report.
I do not have one this morning, Chair.
Well, that is fantastic. All right, well, this meeting is adjourned.